So far not married. So far, it's a godly glory for that. But one of the things that really is so awesome about being married is we're a team in everything that we do. It's so cool. Even yesterday, we were actually up in Boston. Kristen's niece turned 1 year old, and my little sister had her 21st birthday. So we had back-to-back birthday parties yesterday. But it was so cool just being able to go to these birthday parties really together. And we come in and be able to encourage people together and just bring, you know, this energy together and really be a team. And everything is just incredible. And since getting married, I've asked a lot of advice from married brothers here in the church. And you know the three things that I keep hearing? Advice for a great godly marriage? It's humility, listening, and prayer. That's what everyone has been telling me. Those are the keys. And so I think for whether it's a marriage or just your relationship with God in general, humility, prayer, and listening, those are the keys. And so I've been trying to do that every day in our relationship. But you know, last week here at church, we learned about deep convictions, right?
Right.
And we learned that deep conviction is an unshakable, rock-solid belief about something. You know, when I look at my life, I have an unshakable, rock-solid, deep conviction that I love her, that I'm madly in love with her, that she has my heart, and that we're going to spend the rest of our life together.
Amen.
I have a conviction on that. But you know, when we look at God, we need to have a deep conviction about what God's done for us.
Right.
About how He's stuck through us, or stuck with us rather, through victories and defeats. A deep conviction that every good thing we have in life is from God. A deep conviction that He gave His Son for us so our sins could be forgiven and that we live righteously because of that. And everything we do for God and His church, we need to be convicted by grace. That's the title of our message. Convicted by grace. We're going to pray and then we're going to jump right into the lesson. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, God, thank you so much for this day, God. Thank you for getting us here safely, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here to pray to you, God, to sing to you, to be reminded of the the death, the burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, which was the ultimate expression of your love and your grace for us, God. It is because of that sacrifice, because of that grace, that we can stand here before you right now and worship you, God. That we can stand here and read your word and pray to you. And God, I pray that right now you open our hearts to understand your scriptures, open our minds to receive the message that you are sending to us, God. And I pray that we walk out of here, God, not just temporarily convicted, but with deep convictions about your grace, God, and that this will drive our decisions, drive what we do every day for the rest of our lives. God, we love you. It's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to start in verse 1.
Come on, Will.
It reads, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The first thing about being convicted by grace, if you are convicted by God's grace, you need to be convicted to imitate. All right, we're going to talk about what that means, but point number one, imitate. Read the scripture again. Look at verse 1. Be imitators of God. Wow. That is a high calling, brothers and sisters. Be imitators of God? We could end this sermon right now and leave here convicted, trying to figure out how we're going to do that for the rest of our lives. To imitate God, how do we do that? Well, it says to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's incredible. Loving each other and loving God the way that Christ loves us, It means giving ourselves up for each other.
Right.
And giving ourselves up for God's church every single day that we live.
Yeah.
Go over to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to move quickly here.
Let's go well.
1 John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has a material possession and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is not just a nice thing to do, brothers and sisters. This is a command from God. That every day we're supposed to lay down our lives for each other. To not love in words or in tongue. That's what the world does. The world says I love you and it means nothing. Don't love in world with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You know, we know this, right? We know this scripture, and we know that this is what we're supposed to do. But I think a lot of times, we can have the same mindset as meatloaf. Okay? I'm talking about this meatloaf.
Come on.
You guys know the song?
Yes.
So, we're running on a limited audio system right now because the soundboard's getting repaired. So I can't play the clip. So what we're going to have to do is we're just going to have to sing it together. Okay? I'm going to sing the verse, and we're all going to sing it together, just the last part of the chorus, right? I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Okay. We know this scripture, brothers and sisters. But honestly, a lot of times, we are just like meatloaf. Okay? We say, we'll do anything for love. We'll do anything for our brothers and sisters. Anything for the church. But then you're asked to serve in children's ministry. All you're asked to get here early to set up the sound. All you're asked just to pick somebody up and bring them to church. Someone who lives down the street from you. And we claim, yes, I will do anything for God and His church. But when the rubber hits the road, we miss this a lot of times.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
And we stop at anything that is beyond our comfort zone. Anything that might be a little inconvenient for us. We've got to reject that kind of thinking. Reject that worldly and selfish mindset.
Amen.
We have to be convicted by grace, church.
Amen.
And in our relationships with each other, there needs to be a godly level of integrity.
Right.
Sacrifice and sincerity.
Right.
And I'm talking about integrity right here.
Come on, let's pray.
Integrity means when you say you are going to do something, you do it. When somebody calls you, you pick up the phone.
Right.
If you can't get to it, you call them back as soon as possible. When someone texts you or emails you, you reply.
Right.
Laying down, I mean, this is nothing. Jesus died for us.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about picking up the phone. Let's love each other. Let's imitate God's love. I appreciate Kofi and our church. Kofi is a man of integrity. When Kofi is asked to do something, if he is able to do it, even if he's not able to do it, he does it and he figures out a way. When you call or text Kofi, he picks up. He gets back to you. That's a man of integrity. He's convicted by God's grace to do that. Our relationships with each other need to be filled with sacrifice as well.
Amen.
Sacrifice means if there is anything that you can do to help a brother or sister or to help God's church, you do it.
Amen.
That's what sacrifice is. With this, I appreciate Ricky and Lorna with our singles ministry. Ricky and Lorna. Yeah, let's clap on that. Ricky and Lorna both have the mindset that whatever I can do for other disciples. Whatever I can do for God's church, I will do it.
Amen.
If it's giving people rides, if it's studying the Bible with somebody, if it's helping out with these different functions of the church, they do it. They never complain. They never do it begrudgingly. They're convicted by God's grace.
Amen.
They sacrifice for us and for the church. They're examples of how we need to be. If we're going to imitate God's love, we need to love each other with sincerity. Sincerity, this is really listening to people. Really listening and actually trying to figure out how I can help somebody, how I can encourage somebody, considering how we may spur one another on, right, toward loving good deeds. That's Hebrews 10:24. Look it up if you need a refresher. Consider how we may spur one another on. You know who I appreciate in the church for doing this? Is Eric and Jan Smith. They are so sincere in their love. When you talk to them, they listen to you. They really listen. And they really want to know, how can I help you? How can I encourage you? They are examples of sincerity. They are imitating God's love in that way.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let's be convicted by grace
Amen.
To imitate. Amen? Point number two, go back to Ephesians chapter 5.
Come on, Will, here we go.
Okay, Ephesians 5, we're going to start in verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not keep partners with them. You know, if you look at verse 3, the three sins that God lists here, sexual immorality, impurity, and greed, all three of these sins have to do with a lack of gratitude to God. A lack of gratitude to God. Sexual immorality. That's telling God, you know what, God? Your plan for sex is not good enough. So I'm not going to wait until I'm married. I'm going to do it now. Your plan is not good enough. Or, God, this wife that you've given me, this husband you've given me, is not good enough. So I'm going to go outside of my marriage to get what I want. So lack of gratitude to God and for God's plan. Impurity. God, you can't give me everything I need. So I'm going to lust after it until I get it. I'm going to lust after this woman. I'm going to fantasize about this man. You can't give me what I need, God. So I'm going to look for it until I get it. So lack of gratitude. Greed. I'm not content with God's, with what God's given me. So I'm just going to obsess all day over what I don't have and
right.
what I want. Because
right.
that's the only way I can find comfort. So lack of gratitude. And look at verse 4. God talks about what should characterize our speech, and it's thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The only thing we need to be talking about
yes.
is with thanksgiving and gratitude
Amen.
To God. In all of this church, we are called to appreciate what God's given us. And if you're convicted by grace, you will appreciate. Point number two, appreciate.
Amen. Come on, God.
You know, I love studying the Bible with people. I really do. Because when you sit down and study the Bible with someone, and you get to show them just what God has done for us, and that person has that moment where they realize for the first time how God feels about them, what God has done for them, what Jesus has done for us, it's a life-changing moment. It's an incredible thing. The moment that you realize, wow, Even with all of my sin, with all the ways that I have disrespected and disobeyed God, He is still willing to forgive me.
Right.
Appreciate that. Look at Psalm 103. Let's turn there together. Psalm 103, we're starting at verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters, if we really think about God's grace and what He's willing to do for us and what He has already done for us, we won't even want to sin.
Right.
Just the thought of it, the thought of sexual immorality, the thought of impurity or greed or any sin for that matter will be disgusting to us. If God's done this to me, how in the world can I disobey Him?
Right.
How can I sin against Him? With your conviction on this, though, and as I explain this, let's turn back to Ephesians 5. This is our home base for today, Ephesians chapter 5. With your conviction on this, appreciating what God's given, really realizing God's grace, we've got to be careful that the world, even the religious world, does not deceive us with empty words.
Right. Yeah.
Let's reread verses 5 through 7.
Come on,
for of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now that is the truth. That is God's truth from His word. Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
Amen.
We need to be convicted and encouraged by God's grace, yes. But we've got to realize that His grace is not to be taken advantage of.
Right.
And He actually will not let us take advantage of His grace.
Right.
If God sees you deliberately continuing to sin,
right,
and thinking that it's all right, God's grace will cover me, it does not work that way.
Right.
Read through the New Testament and it's crystal clear. His grace is not to be taken advantage of. So how are your convictions on sexual immorality?
Come on.
The Bible is clear. If you are sleeping with somebody who you are not married to, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God.
Come on.
So how are your convictions? How are your convictions on impurity?
Help us out.
You know what? I want to share something with everyone here. And this is not to lift myself up or anything, but this is to show how desperate this matter is. From the time that Kristen and I started dating, February 10th of 2012, that's tomorrow, 2-year anniversary of us starting today. But from the time we started dating until 29 days ago when we got married, we were completely pure in our relationship. Don't clap. Do not. Please don't clap. That's God.
Okay? Right.
That's not me. I was never in her apartment alone. Not one time. Our entire dating or engagement. She was never in my apartment alone. We never spent time alone in private. Ever. We never touched each other in inappropriate ways. We never kissed each other in inappropriate ways. We were totally pure.
Right.
Do you know why? Because I realized that if God has allowed me to have this relationship, why on earth would I mess it up?
Right.
Why would I ruin it? This is God's perfect plan.
Right.
Don't ruin God's perfect plan with impurity.
Right.
You look after that. How are your convictions on greed? Are you giving sacrificially? Or are you giving to your 401k? What's your top priority here? What are you giving to him?
Come on, Will.
These sins, the sins of idolatry, they take more people out spiritually than anything else. This is serious, and we can't play with this stuff.
Amen.
Let's be convicted by God's grace to appreciate. Amen.
Amen.
Last point, we're going to keep reading in verse 8.
This is great, brother.
Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. And we'll stop right there. Point number 3, illuminate. Illuminate. I want to read this real quick. This is the NIV 2011 translation, right? This is the updated version. For verse 14, or 13 rather. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. We're going to talk about what that means in a second. But right here in what we just read, God gives us two ways. He tells us the two ways that we are supposed to illuminate Him and His glory. Okay? The first way is just through our lives. Just by the way that we live, living as children of light. And the second way is by exposing sin.
Amen.
You know, living as children of light is an incredible thing. This past Friday, Dylan and I were over at UNH, right? University of New Haven. And we were actually having a Bible study with our friend Rob. So we were sitting in the student center, we were studying the Bible, and after we wrapped up, we went upstairs to get some food. So we got our food, we came back, sat down, we prayed for the food, and we started eating and talking. And I noticed the whole time that we were hanging out there, that we were eating and talking, there was this guy sitting right next to us, just watching us. We were there for about 45 minutes, and he was just watching us. And it came time for me and Dylan to go. We had to go back over to Southern. And so we just started packing up our stuff. And this guy who was sitting there watching us, he looked at us and he said, "Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you guys Christians?" And we're like, "As a matter of fact, we are. Yes, we are Christians." And you know what he said? He's like, I was watching you guys. I saw you guys pray. And I heard what you were talking about and just the way that you were talking. And I just knew these are Christians. We're going to start studying the Bible with this guy this Friday. But there's nothing special about us at all. We're just living as children of light. We know what we used to be. We used to live in the darkness, and we're not going back then. We're just living as children of light, trying to illuminate God's glory in the way that we live and the way that we talk every day. When you live that way, people will see it. They will notice. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, are people noticing your fruit? The fruit of the light in your life. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Are people pointing it out? Are people asking you, excuse me, sorry to interrupt, but are you a Christian? Are people asking you that because of the way you live? And let's look at the second part here, illuminating God's glory. That's exposing sin. How are you doing with this? Do you get open regularly with brothers and sisters about your sin? Even your temptations, things that you're struggling with, things that Satan is attacking you with. Are you getting open about that? And then are you holding others accountable? Are you asking the tough questions? If you see something that is not right, something that's up, are you pulling that brother aside, that sister aside, saying, "What is going on? Lord, repent of this." Are we doing that for each other? Because anytime something is hidden in the darkness, brothers and sisters, Satan has a field day with it. He will take it and run with it. It's not going to stop with that look. It will go to sexual immorality.
Right.
It's not going to stop with just a little bit of greed. It will end with you leaving God's church.
Right.
We have to take this seriously, get things into the light, and let's hold each other accountable.
Amen.
When you bring it into the light, Satan cannot touch it. He has no domain over it. Let's be convicted by God's grace to illuminate.
Amen.
And look back at verse 8. We're going to reread this real quick. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Let's remember God's grace every day. Remember what we once were and what we are now.
Right.
Let's be convicted by that, church. Let's be convicted by God's grace to imitate Him, to imitate His love, to give ourselves up for each other every day. Let's be convicted by grace to appreciate what God has given us, to not go outside of God's plan, to try to fill ourselves with things that will never satisfy.
Right.
Appreciate what God has given us. And let's illuminate the glory of God through our lives and through bringing things into the light. To God be the glory. Amen.